Classic Adelaide.
Narcos with Napoleon. When you actually get together with a bunch of guys and say, look, let's do something, there's some sort of connectivity in relation to the work that you're doing. Then you go in the pub, a few beers.
Classic Adelaide.
There's no doubt that Thevi needs an upgrading. We want to build a tower over the main stage because that increases the capacity and the various genres of theatre that we might be able to attract.
Classic Adelaide.
We were playing in the Riverland somewhere. This gentleman with hoods on, they look like rappers. Next thing we know, one of them runs on stage and starts singing, and it was Chubby Checker.
Really?
Wow. Classic Adelaide.
Yes, welcome to Classic Adelaide. Today it's Core Magazine. If you ever appeared in an issue of Core Magazine, or maybe you've got an old copy floating around your place, 1300 222 891, feel free to call in, or you can SMS on 0467 922 891, because in 1991, dance music enthusiast ACB Tyson, he griped that there wasn't a local magazine about dance music in Adelaide, and the Core was born. And my next guest left the ABC in February of 1992 to concentrate on the Core magazine full time, and to tell the story as to what happened, why it was important. I'm joined now by a former producer and editor of Core magazine, Stilgarian. Welcome, Stilgarian.
Good evening, Jules.
So what prompted you to leave a venerated institution like the ABC to take up with Core magazine?
Well, I have to stress that ACB Tyson was the creator, and he'll have a big sook if we don't say that, but it really was his thing. And I was his partner at the time, and I was kind of a bit bored with the ABC at the time as well. I'd done everything that I really could do at that stage of my career at the ABC. And I saw that what he was doing was really good. I saw that he really just needed more resources in there, both people and a bit of money to really keep it going. And we agreed, all right, let's push this along. So, as I said, it started in November 91, and I sort of joined across in early 92, in February, I think it was, and it continued on from there. So the point, though, is that I know in one of these segments you've looked at the other magazines that were around at the time. So Rip It Up was the long-running weekly.
Yes.
You know, every city has its free weekly What's On in Music magazine. And Rip It Up was well established. But at the same time that was happening, you would have probably spoken about DB magazine.
Yes.
Started, I think, 2 weeks apart from the Core. And they said, well, no, we want to look a bit more of the alternative scene coming up. ACB wanted to look more at the dance music coming through, which was a huge thing in Adelaide at the period. And Adelaide was kind of probably the coolest place in Australia for that in 91. And so we both appeared at the same time to fill that, I don't want to say gap in the market, that gap in the enthusiasm, because it really was driven by passion rather than, quite frankly, any commercial sense.
How are you monetizing it, Stilgarian?
Well, all these street mags run on advertising. It's as simple as that. You are getting money in from, well, the record labels, if you're someone like Rip It Up, by bands, clubs, pubs, and so on. So it does mean you have the rather exciting business model of relying on such ethical business people as nightclub owners and managers.
I know. So what nightclubs were you dealing with then in 1991? Are we talking like...
Oh, no, they'll be really careful because, I mean...
I'm not saying they're disreputable, just they're not like Heaven and those sort of places?
Heaven, the Ark, the Arkabar Hotel was huge at the period. I've got a let's have a look at here. There were clubs. I mean, what was the big one? Oh,
don't ask me. I was kicked out of nightclubs, Stilgarian.
I keep forgetting. I'm a little bit older than you are. La Rox was the one I was thinking of, and Metro. Yeah. They were huge. Metro at the time was one of the coolest places around. Scotty Thompson was the manager there, and they were remarkably cool and exclusive, and they were big supporters. So obviously in this field, some people are better to do business with than others. And I do remember a lovely thing. I'll definitely not name this nightclub promoter, but they were upset, they said, because we reviewed their night and said many people were disappointed that DJ Groove Terminator didn't play as advertised. And they said, oh, how can you say that in your review of the night? We spent all this money advertising with you. And I said, well, what we could have said is you actually knew he wasn't available to play some 4 or 5 weeks out from that night, but you kept advertising that he was on the bill, and we could have said you're in severe breach of trade practices law, but we didn't say that.
Stilgherrian, you say that Adelaide at that time was the real hub of dance music in Australia. Why? Yeah.
I have this theory, and it relates to particularly the analog techno that was happening at the time. As I say, we're talking 1991, and before that, through, say, I suppose, 89, through until that point, there was the rise of techno made with analog instruments. When you look at the places where that was big around the world, they were all run-down industrial cities. We're talking Detroit in the United States. We're talking Sheffield in the UK. To a lesser extent, Manchester and some of the others, but the really kind of more underground techno came from Sheffield. Then we had Belgium generally, because Belgium's exports are what? Beer and iron ore.
Mm.
And steel. And, of course, all of that industrial stuff was in decline. And Adelaide was the same at the period. We had the Mitsubishi plant on its last legs. We had the washing machine factory, who am I thinking of? Simpsons.
Simpsons, yes.
Was going through. And a whole lot of others. And what was weird, though, about that is that in Detroit, 80% of the population of Detroit then was black. It was the car industry was falling apart. Sheffield, really solidly working class. In Adelaide, for some reason, the kind of underground techno scene was all these skinny white boys from the northeastern suburbs, which is kind of really weird because we did build up quite strong links with Detroit. And there you've got the 250-pound black guys from the ghetto coming out and crushing you with a handshake with all of these weedy white kids from Adelaide. And yet there was this connection. So there really was that happening. And at the time, if you dig back into it, there was a different style. Sydney was much more, I suppose, jazz funk oriented to its dance music. Tim Ritchie could say more about that. He's still with the ABC, I believe, or around. Melbourne had its own vibe. Adelaide really got into, two things. It was the techno played on analog instruments, and the electronic dance music out of that. And also some of the early Adelaide hip-hop scene, which later produced, and this was a bit after our time with the Core, Hilltop Hoods.
Of course.
Have gone on to huge things.
I'm talking to Stilgherrian, his former producer and editor of Core magazine.
Well, not editor.
former
what do we say?
Contributor.
Person.
Yes. Person of interest.
Person of interest.
When it comes to Core magazine. Yes. We're doing Core magazine as part of Classic Adelaide today. Stilgherrian, Adam texted in to say that you took a picture of him at 3 a.m.
Yeah,
at a nightclub.
I heard that.
Was that what you used to do? Did you, as part of Core magazine, have to go into clubs and get those shots of people kind of with their arms around each other, looking a little bit wasted?
Good heavens, no one's ever wasted in a nightclub. A bit, yes. We actually had a fantastic photographer by the name of Jay Penfold who did a lot of that work. But if it's busy and a long weekend, absolutely, there were so many big parties on that I would get around there too. And look, it was always fun because the thing about that scene, for whatever reason, everyone was always really, really happy at these events.
Mm. And so what happened to Core magazine? I mean, because you did tap into something in Adelaide and obviously dance music grew and grew and grew. Was it, did it last 3 years, 2 years to get
in? I was involved for 2 years. And look, I think the easiest thing to say is that never do business with your personal partners in life.
Okay. Right.
Because there's then no escape. The pressures are to that. So after a couple of years, let's just say it did not end well. And I went on to do some other things. ACB kept it going. The ownership structure changed. And it went on for, I think, most of the following year after that. But why? I don't know. I mean, businesses come and go, and I really didn't dig down into it. They changed it a little bit, and I'm not saying that was the wrong thing to do. I think they made some great changes. I don't know. I mean, it's tough. It's a, look, what I will say, it's a tough business doing these free magazines. You're totally reliant on the health of the community you're reporting on because they're the ones paying for the ads. Look, I don't know. It shifts and changes. You've got no cash reserves because, you know, I'm really not. You know, we were the best business people in the world. You know, time moves on. And I mean, one thing I always remember is August was the worst time of the year for advertising because that's when licensed premises had to pay their annual liquor license fee and they never had any spare money.
Well, Stilgherrin, as part of this segment, I usually ask a band for, like, you know, their best or worst gig, you know, something that's really stuck in the memory. With you, I mean, you know, you've described it as a bit of a mad 2 years. What's kind of the most famous or infamous moment you had as a contributor to Core magazine? You know, when you kind of think about the journey, what's one of the sort of stops that you remember?
This is actually not about anything to do with the magazine itself, but the zeitgeist of the time.
Mm.
We had an office, of course, on Rundle Street. It's still there. The building's still there. Corner of Rundle and Frome Street. There's an old Victorian-era building painted a creamish colour, and it's got a huge mural on the side of an old man licking an ice cream while watching a little girl play, and it's a lovely, sweet thing. Our office was the top corner, right there, overlooking the corner of Rundle and Frome Street. And we had, what was the name of the rave production crew? We had a spare office, and there was a crew who worked out of that. And one Monday, after they'd done all their partying, and Monday was our deadline day, we still had one of the industrial-grade bubble machines from the party in the office. So, middle of summer, we just had bubbles blowing out over that intersection on Rundle Street for the afternoon.
Well, I mean, how big were the bubbles? Just usual size?
Fist-sized, I suppose, cricket ball-sized.
Did the pedestrians break out into like a musical-type number as they were showered with bubbles?
Sure we certainly would have had music up and playing. But it was just that lovely thing of a summer's Monday, music playing, bubbles through the air, happy, happy times.
Now, I always ask for a track to finish Classic Adelaide, and obviously, you know, we're not talking about a band here, we're talking about a magazine. What track would you like to play, Stilgherrin, that sort of reflects the DNA of Core magazine?
This is very much a personal favourite, and indeed, with the Triple J program Club Escape, which I was co-presenter of before working on the Core, we did a perfect list of our favourite tracks for the year, and at the end of 2011, one of those in the top 10 was the KLF, Last Train to Transcentral, because, one, hugely popular, two, just the most gorgeous pop music. It was not intended to be anything else except magnificent pop, and even listening to it now, 28 years later, folks, 28 years ago this track came out. It still is such brilliantly crafted music.
Stilgherrin, thank you so much for joining me and taking us back as to some of the machinations of Core magazine and the bubbles in Rundle Street. Really appreciate Stilgherrin. Let's hear a little bit of that track. This is KLF, Last Train to Transcentral.